Well, let's, Pastor Russo said, get our Bibles out. Go over to the book of Romans, chapter number 15. Romans, chapter number 15. If you get there and you feel like it, head over to 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. We're going to read both of these passages before we get started here tonight. Romans 15 and 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. Some messages that God puts on my heart and in the hearts of preachers, you sometimes think about it and wonder, now who's going to get a blessing out of this? Like, who is this? Lord, you gave me this message, and it's not my job to figure out who it's for, but I'm curious sometimes. And I wonder to God, this might not be the best message. I imagine it kind of being a blessing to this person and that person, but I don't know if most of the church is going to get something out of this. And inevitably, someone will come and who I didn't expect and say, thank you, that was a blessing, this and that. But this message here tonight, I think, will definitely speak to everyone here. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your family situation. This is something that all of us need. What did I send you first? Romans 15. Let's look we'll start in verse number 3. Romans 15, 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. Ooh, that's a whole other message right there. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Christ, when he died, he didn't do it for his benefit. He did it for ours, right? Our reproaches were put on him. He didn't get anything out of that. He sacrificed and he gave and he suffered and he endured. Why? For my benefit. For my reproaches to be washed away, to be taken care of. Verse number 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Why do we have the Scriptures? The Scriptures give us hope that the promises of God are yet to come. They're going to be fulfilled. That the testimonies of those who came before us, as Pastor Russo just preached on Sunday night, if you were here for that, are a blessing and encouragement to us to go through what we're going through right now. And it says that they were written for our learning, that we through what? Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And then the next verse, now the God of, what's that word? Patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. He goes back to the idea that it started with at the end. As God accepts us now because of the sacrifice of Christ, that mercy that God shows us, we show that to other people. And what do we need to be, as it says in verse number 6, that we could be of one mind and one mouth to glorify God? Is that because the unity of the church, is that built on the fact that we all think the same? Is it built on the fact that we're all part of the same political party? Is it built because we're all the same race? Or we're all the same income level? Or we all have the same education? Or we all like chocolate better than vanilla, praise the Lord. Is that why we can be one? No, we are one because we have something that does bring us together. That's the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved here tonight, that is the bond of fellowship that we have one with another. But, see, I just started preaching. What's the mopey face for? It's a long way to go. We just started. Relax, okay? It'll be okay. That bond is there, but we're still humans. Although we have the Spirit, on the outside we still have the flesh. And what do we need to show one to another? Patience. Patience. Because you're not going to think the way I think. She's not going to think the way you think. And there's going to be issues that come up where there's going to be disagreements. Although we have the Holy Spirit, although we have unity around the Scriptures, there are still going to be disagreements. And in order for us to be of one body and of one mind, as it says, we need to show patience. And this is something we forget. We talk about, the fact that God is love, that God is all-powerful, that God is merciful, that God is all-present. But the verse tells us here that he's the God of patience. As when Christ died on the cross for other people's sin, he endured suffering, the ultimate example of patience. As he got nothing out of it, and he was falsely accused. And what does the scripture say there when Christ was on trial? He answered, didn't answer back. He was patient in that tribulation, in that trial. God is a God of patience, and for us to be unified in Christ, we need to show patience one to another. Now jump over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 14. Well, we gotta read verse number 12 too. I'm going to stop at verse number 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So he's got a couple groups here. Those that are over you in the Lord. Now that could be the pastor. That could be a spiritual leader. That could be, you know, someone who's, for kids, your parents are over you in the Lord. And it goes on. Not just them who are over you, but those who also labor among you. That's one another. We labor together. What does he say in verse number 13? And to esteem them, that's the them that we talk about in verse 12, very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. Verse number 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and the lest... be patient toward all men. And the next verse says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and, how does that verse end? To all men. He starts in the church. Be patient with the leaders. Be patient among each other. Be patient with those who are unruly. Those who require the most patience. Be patient, and he grows and grows and grows until you're patient toward all men. You should be able to guess what I'm preaching about here tonight. Patience. Who here can say, nope, I got this one covered. Woo, never an issue where I ever lose my patience. No, it's something we all can work on. Now, there are people who are more patient than others, and there are people who struggle with patience. But there's always going to come a situation where you might lose your patience. God is a God of patience, and he instructs us as Christians to be patient toward all men. And I only have three quick points here. First off, be patient towards people. Patient towards people. We have a lot of relationships here in the church. It's going to take patience. As we go through new things this last year, church is closed, when to open church, how do we come to church when we are here, how do we interact with each other? You know what that takes? Patience. I wish we had a crystal ball and we could just see the future. And then we would know, but no, we have to be patient. Be patient one toward another. People will treat you wrong. Maybe someone here today, if we opened up the floor, could give testimony of just today how someone mistreated you. You know, as Christ is the example, it's in those moments when you are truly justified that you were treated wrongly, that, man, I have the right to just let this anger build up and I have the right to snap back because they were wrong and I was right. That we need to, in those moments is when we need to remember the testimony of Christ the most. Because he was definitely in the right. And the whole world is in the wrong. And he was patient. Patience, they say, is a virtue. I don't have all the virtues. As I listen, I'm going to tell a little secret. My kids, hopefully they're sleeping already. We can hear them fighting in the house. We have a new house. It's a bigger house. And the stairwell is in one corner. So if ever you want the kids upstairs, you have to, if you holler from anywhere else in the house, do any parents do this, just holler kids' names? I know I'm not the only one, right? I know we're supposed to probably go close to them and find them and talk to them, but it's much easier to say, Lydia! And try to get her to come. Now, you can stand in a different part of the house and scream and scream and scream, and they're not going to hear you if they're upstairs. So you go to the stairwell. You go to the door, kind of point your head up, Lydia! And she should hear you, right? Whether or not she comes and uses the excuse, I didn't hear you, I didn't know. You know, you can hear me from there. But that also works the other way. Sometimes if I just hang out by that step and I listen upstairs, I hear some arguing going on, some disagreements between my perfect children. And sometimes to figure out what's going on before I charge up there and shut it down and start just spanking everybody in the room, I don't do that. I'll stand there a minute. I'm telling on them, but I'm also warning them. I'll stand there for a minute and I'll just listen. And I'll hear one say this and the other respond like this, and the other say this and the other respond like that. And that's a lot easier, you know what's going on, than when one of them comes to you and just says, Anna hit me. Why? I don't know, I didn't do anything. Uh-huh. Anna, did you hit her? Anna never would hit her sister, so. No! Well, maybe I lightly put, and it starts to, so if I wait there a second, I get an idea what's going on. And as I'm listening sometimes, and I hear this little fight go back and forth, I hear familiar conversation. Because it's things I've said to them when I wasn't patient that now they're saying to each other. And I hear that and I say, I don't like that. Why would they talk that? Oh, I said that. Now, they can misuse my words and they can do anything like that, but it reminds me that I go up and I instruct them how they're supposed to behave with patience towards each other and understanding and responding kindly and all those things. And then, do I do that as well? Show patience towards people. And it can be helpful to think, man, if I got these words back that I'm about to spew at somebody else, how would I respond to that? The way we respond in bad situations, whether it's with patience or whether it is a justified anger, will determine how that acts in your life. To respond with patience leads to rewards. Remember that if you are suffering in well-doing, that's when God's taking notes in heaven. And he's seeing what you're doing, and he says, that's my child. Man, I am proud of them. They're doing what's right, people are using it against them, and they're standing strong. When we do what's right, and then the boss comes, or somebody, you know, whatever situation you find yourself in, and you respond in anger and haste and judgment, and man, I'm going to win this argument, and I'm going to... That's not suffering and well-doing. That'll lead to offense. That'll lead to bitterness. Make sure your actions will teach others how to be patient. Be patient towards people, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the family, whether it's at work. Remember, everyone here could add an extra dose of patience to what they do and what they say. Because it is that fruit of the Spirit that shows through us that proves you are a child of God. Anyone can respond in anger. Anyone can respond in contention. The child of God should respond with patience. Patience. Be patient toward people. Number two, go to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8. Matthew 6, verse number 8, be patient in prayer. Be patient in your prayer. Our house, one of my perfect children, we have an old house. And the owners fixed it up a little bit before, I think they were getting ready to sell it. But they didn't, just today I found tile out in the middle of the grass. I'm like, where does broken pieces of tile come from? And as I'm looking around, there's a little pile. I'm digging up new ones that show. Things keep showing up in the grass. It's all just lifting up. We find broken glass. There's this metal valve of some kind that floated up to the surface. And today, I was hanging out the laundry, walking back to the house, I see tile. So I grab it because I know I'm going to go over it with a lawnmower, and it's going to be like a ninja star, just flying out. and just kill somebody. So I pick it up. I tossed it to the side of the house. I didn't throw it away. So it's still out there, but it's not in the grass. Now, why is there tile here? And then I look up, oh, there's the bathroom window. I bet when they were trying to remodel the bathroom, they just were throwing stuff out the window. So now we have a pile of tile around that window in the grass. But they were fixing up. It's in an old house. The windows are something that I'm dealing with right now. We had one child go to open a window, and the pane of glass just fell out. Now, this isn't the window that my son helped me change out. This is a different window. And I go up, look, and unfortunately no one got hurt. It fell out of the house onto the porch roof, so it was all right there. It's able to, you should see me hanging out a window, Brother Rice, trying to pick up glass. It was fun. I'm sure the people driving by the road thought, that was interesting, what's going on there. So I'm picking up the glass, and I go, maybe I get a pane of glass, just another piece, and put it in this window. But it is rotted. I pick up the windowsill, and it's just fallen apart. Old house. So then it's in Shannon's room. If you don't know Shannon, Shannon lives with us. So in my mind, no problem. This isn't an issue. No, but. So I thought, man, we'll get this taken care of. I'll go over to Lowe's, you know? They got windows. So I go to Lowe's. What are you laughing at, Brother Odell? Of course they don't sell this size window. It doesn't exist in their inventory because it's a weird size window. So, man, it's not going to happen. And then, so we put plastic over it. And then I'm shopping around, and man, this really isn't going to happen anytime soon. So now there's a piece of wood, plywood over it. And there's other stuff. We got it secure, all right? Hurricane force winds could come through there, and it wouldn't move. So I'm calling around. I finally get the custom measurements. I go to Lowe's. Hey, what about, you know, these? They say, that's going to be 3 to 4 weeks to get that in. I say, 3 to 4 weeks? Nope. I'm going to call somebody else. So I call somebody else. That's going to be 4 weeks. No, I'm going to call somebody else. That's going to be 6 weeks. Oh, boy. In my mind, and I'm sure especially Shannon's mind, a month, I have a hole in my house. I need a window. I can reach outside when I don't want to. That's not supposed to happen in my house. I need this now. And everyone else, you're going to be there a month and a half before you can fix that. How many times have we come to God and said, God, I need this now. And God says, nah, you're going to wait a little while. God, you don't understand. There's a problem in my life right now. Do you see this giant hole I'm dealing with? And God says, I see it. My grace is sufficient for thee. You're going to wait a little while. God, you just don't understand my circumstance. I need be patient in your prayers. Remember something, as Scripture here teaches us in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8. Am I in the right spot? Oh, I went to Mark. Let me get to Matthew. Hold on. Matthew 6, verse number 8 says, be not therefore like unto them. Them are those who repeat their prayers, vain repetition. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Remember that when we pray, that God already knows. He instructs us to pray. But always remember in prayer that we are trying to walk in God's will for our lives. And we need to trust that God has his will for us. And that our goal in prayer isn't to say, God, I don't want to be here in your will. I want to be over here. And I'm going to try to pray myself out of God's will. No, we're praying that God would give us what we need to stay in his will and to have the patience and the sustenance and whatever we need to continue in his path. It's easy to run from the troubles and say, God, take this away. It's a lot harder to say, God, give me the grace to make it through this. God, give me the patience to wait for your time. Lord, teach me to thrive in this trial. Remember that we are the lambs. We're the sheep. And the sheep doesn't lead the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. And when we pray, we're not saying, God, do it this way. We ask, but I hope in all of it that you are trying to ask according to his will and his guiding of the Spirit. This isn't a sermon on prayer. But remember that we are the sheep, right? And that our prayer needs to be patient and wait for the shepherd to lead. Be patient towards people, be patient toward prayer, and be patient in persecution. Go to James chapter number 1. We're going to finish up with this. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. A lot of this chapter deals with patience and trials. James 1, let's read verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. So what does that mean? That let patience have her perfect work. Our prayer, our desire when we're in the middle of a trial is to what? Get me out of this. I don't want to be here. Take this trial from me. Give me more to get me over this. I don't want to be here. But if we rush to get out of the trial ahead of God's timing, we're not giving time for patience to do her work. You will not learn patience. You will not grow in patience if you never have a trial to learn it in. So when we pray and when we endure, these two work together, when we endure that persecution, remember that persecution has a purpose. And to rush and to always just say, God, get me out of this. Take this from me. Take this away. I don't want this. You're not letting patience have her perfect work. What does God want to see us in us? Read verse number 4 again with me. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It's amazing that how closely patience is to the contentment, to the perfection of a saint. They go hand in hand. Sometimes patience is kind of pushed to the side, and we forget about its importance in our life. But God is saying here that patience, that is what's going to make you perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You need that patience in your life. It goes hand in hand with faith, and it leads to perfection of a Christian. Don't rush to get out of trials. Now, you're not supposed to just wallow in misery and say, woe is me. We pray and we ask God, but do it according to wisdom. You have to be walking in the Spirit to know, God, is this a trial or is this a mistake? Should I be getting out of this or am I just going down the wrong road? And that's a different lesson, a different message. But be patient in persecution. Why? Because it has a purpose. Go to 1 Peter, just over a couple pages. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 7. In James we see that faith and patience work hand in hand. The trying of your faith worketh patience. That trial of your faith brings patience. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, this is the same kind of trial, right? The same trial that brings patience in your life. What else does it do? Being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. When was the last time you looked at a trial in your life and you say, this is more precious to me than gold? Pastor, you're crazy. I don't want the trial. I don't want the trial either. But making it through the trial and learning the lessons that the trial brings, namely patience, that can be more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I joke about my lady hands. You know why I have lady hands? Because I don't want to do work, right? And when I do, I put on gloves to protect myself because I don't want to get... After about 30 seconds swinging them all, I start getting blisters. And then the day's over. So I do that at first, and then I say, sorry, honey, it's got to wait a week till my hands heal. No, that, I don't want to go through a trial. And in our culture, where we have plenty, when we have lines of credit and the fridge is full and the store has what we need, mostly except for toilet paper and cleaning supplies, it seems like, you can get most things. That's normal. This is abnormal in our lives. In some countries, it's very normal. We have everything we need. There's not many trials in that way. So you know what's easy to do? It's to not be patient. Because they're not trials of faith. I firmly believe it's more challenging for a Christian in America to have faith than most Christians around the world. Because they have trials of faith. Now, I'm not saying we never go through anything. Don't misunderstand me. There are trials. They're on a different scale for different people. I understand all that. But relatively speaking, we have it pretty easy in life. And that ease makes us miss out on trials. And what does it say at the end? What these trials are going to be? The end of verse number 7 says that these trials might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I think we might be surprised and disappointed at the end to realize, man, we don't have that much praise and honor and glory because we didn't go through that many trials with patience. The trial isn't what automatically turns into gold at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's how you endure the trial. And it needs to be done with patience. I heard it said, I was watching an adventure show. I just saw it on Netflix or Amazon. I don't remember what we were watching. It's called what's that thing called? World's Hardest Race or something like that. And Bear Grylls is hosting it. He's my personal hero. No, I don't know. And it's in Fiji. And these people are racing. It's an endurance race. And there is no stops. There's no end of the day. It is start here, end here. You have certain checkpoints you have to reach. And they are doing everything. They are rowing on open water. They are mountain biking through mud. They're rappelling. They're climbing up water faces. They're running. They're hiking through jungle. And it is so many hundreds of kilometers that they're covering. It's insane. And the top teams finish in like 4 days. And you say, well, that doesn't mean anything. I don't know the distance because it's kilometers and nobody ever knows what those are. If they said miles, I would understand how far it was. But in kilometers, I have no idea how far they're going. But it is a long way. They're getting, I think the team that won only took a 2-hour sleep and then like a 3-hour. And other than that, they just had short windows. Non-stop. I mean, the other competitors are ultra-marathon runners, long-distance bikers, and they're dropping like flies. This is hardcore stuff. And you look at these people, and they're not big, muscular, tough guys, but they are people who have learned to endure. That when their body and their spirit says, you can't do anymore, they're able to push on and endure and endure and keep going and going and going. There are trials in life, Christian, but God has a purpose to those trials. It's to teach us patience. And one of them said in there as they were climbing that they were struggling up this mountain. I think it was slimy with all this mud. They're trying to push a mountain bike, and the wheels aren't even turning anymore because they get so caked with mud. They're just kind of sliding, and it's making everything heavier. And he says to one of his teammates, remember, this is a mountain, but every mountain has a top. Every mountain has a top. There are trials. You're not going to get away from them. Figure out what God's trying to teach you in them. Handle them with patience. So that at the end of the trial, it has value. It is something that is more precious to you than gold. It is something you can pass on to others. It is something when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to look at and say, well done. Not because you didn't have trials, but you made it through the trial with patience. 1 Peter teaches us, casting all your care upon him. What's the end of that verse? What a powerful thought. You know, that God cares about me. He cares. And when we need to show patience is when we're waiting on God most of the time. never in those moments forget God cares. He didn't forget. He didn't leave me. He's got a purpose for what I'm going through right now. Be patient towards people. Be patient in your prayers. And be patient in persecution. And let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Let's pray together as we go our way.